Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Patriot Education, brought to you, as always, through the good offices of PatriotFamilies.com, a great group of people who understand the responsibility as well as the right of being the nation. I'd like to thank my friends Linda and Yola for publicizing our show tonight. My friend Linda is fighting Common Core out in California, the home of the fruits and nuts. And God bless her, she's that rare bird of paradise, a California conservative. And all of us need to be fighting the implementation of this pernicious system of setting standards that aren't standards, and making mediocrity the goal for our children. Common Core, ladies and gentlemen, is the backdoor approach by our government and the progressives who infest it to indoctrinate our children into liberal, progressive, Fabian socialist policies, ideas, and thinking patterns. Every parent out there, and every aunt and uncle and cousin and grandmother and grandfather and anyone who cares about our future as a nation wants our kids to be the best educated people in the world. Our founding fathers understood the value of access to education even more than we do now, because for them and for the people among whom they lived, education was a privilege available only to the wealthy. What you learned at your mother's knee about reading the Bible or figuring enough to not be cheated at the general store was the extent of education available to most people who were not wealthy. Our founding fathers understood that the constitutional republic they gave us could only succeed if it governed by the consent of well-educated, thinking citizens who understood how their government was supposed to work and to understand that freedom is not only a right, but a responsibility. They wanted every citizen of the then colonies to become as independent as the nation they were trying to build. They wanted people who could read fluently, who understood and could speak their own language well, who could figure mathematically, who could be open to new scientific discoveries and technological advancements, and who would be lifelong learners, because we have to be. In order to maintain our freedoms, we have to educate ourselves. Our founding fathers wanted the opportunity for every citizen of this nation to learn the basic academic skills that would allow them to continue learning their entire lives and to keep watch on the flame of freedom that the founders pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to encode in our Declaration of Independence and later in our Constitution. They knew, they understood to the bone that an education, learning to teach yourself, was the most important thing that the citizen of this new nation could ever have. Common Core is far from the vision of the founders, ladies and gentlemen. Common Core is an attempt by government to teach your children not to learn and enjoy the activity of learning, but to meet a quote-unquote objective standard of knowledge, which is not knowledge. It is indoctrination. It is viewpoints. It is everything that the founding fathers would have spat upon were they here. We would like our children to achieve the ability to read and understand what they read, so that they can educate themselves, so that they can read not only what government says, but read what government hides behind what it says. Common Core wants your children to achieve mediocrity. It wants to use our schools as labor camps, in effect, that train our children to become complacent, apathetic clones who wish only for government to do things for them because they are special simply by having been born. The Department of Education was created under the auspices of President Jimmy Carter. In its original charter, it is clearly stated that the Department of Education cannot impose any form of curricular control on any school in this nation. Common Core is being touted as, oh, well, this is just going to make sure that everybody across the country has an equal education. Progressive Fabian socialists love the word equal. They are madly, passionately, orgasmically in love with the idea that everyone is equal. But they do not and will not understand the true meaning of equality. Equality does not mean equal outcomes, ladies and gentlemen. Equality means equal opportunity. The chance given to every single one of us to go as far and as high as our personal abilities, work ethic, and dedication will take us. Common Core is not interested in promoting the idea of learning as a positive thing. Common Core is interested in promoting test scores and data-driven measures of our educational system and the products it produces. Test scores are very useful, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, they are necessary. The only way that we can evaluate how well our children are doing in the acquiring of the basic skills they need is by testing. Because, in spite of the desire of progressive liberals, we cannot see into their brains and manipulate their neurons to believe and think exactly as we would have them do. We have to test, ladies and gentlemen, in order to find out whether or not our students have absorbed the material we have been teaching them. It's the only tool we have. But we do not have to test them every 12 and a half seconds to see whether or not they are achieving according to a standard based chronologically on how old they are or how many days they sat in class. Common Core is another arm of the accreditation machinery that the federal government is so in love with for our public schools. We want our kids to go to good schools where the materials are up to date, the technology available to our students is state of the art, the opportunity to learn is equalized for everyone, and that give our kids the tools they need to be educated citizens. That's why everybody loves the idea of accrediting schools. Obviously, you don't want your child to go to a school that gives him an A if he doesn't stick his thumb in his mouth three times today. You want your child's grades to reflect the acquisition of knowledge. We all do. We test each other every day. We're tested at work. We're given evaluations on our job performance. We're given tests medically to find out what's causing an illness. We test our mechanical contrivances, our electronics, to make sure they're functioning properly. We test everything to make sure that it works correctly and isn't going to harm anyone. We are used to being tested. We are used to UL approved on our electronic and electrical appliances. We want them to test new drugs to make sure that they don't kill the person they're trying to cure. We think of testing as a means of promoting and ensuring quality and achievement. And testing, when it's done properly, does those things. But the kind of testing that is being used now has nothing whatsoever to do, really, with measuring the amount of knowledge our kids have gained. Most of the testing for accreditation, including state standards for making sure schools are teaching what they're supposed to, grade the school rather than the student, ladies and gentlemen. Common Core carries that even further. Common Core is going to be grading the teachers, okay, and grading the school systems, and grading the state's standards as to whether or not your kids are learning what the government thinks they ought to know. You know that old joke about, hi, I'm here from the government, I'm here to help you, and everybody runs screaming for the woods? Well, it's even worse when it's applied to education. When you teach a child something, or attempt to, it is a mutual activity. Teaching does not stand alone. It is not a magic wand. It is not a panacea for all ills. It is not an automatic acquiring of knowledge simply by being present when knowledge is given out. But the kind of testing that Common Core and state standards of learning do really doesn't examine whether or not the children are learning what they need to know. Instead, it drives teachers crazy because they're limited in what they can teach. They have to meet objective standards as far as how quickly they go through material. They have to have all their kids pass or do well in order to keep their jobs or their school system keep its accreditation. And if a school system loses its accreditation, that means it doesn't receive the federal funds it needs in order to pay all of the people who have to ensure that it gets the accreditation. It is a tail-chasing Ouroboros worm that swallows its tail all the time. It makes teaching into a mechanical contrivance that says if you put this piece of information on the desk and the child does it and hands it back to you and it gets an acceptable grade, then you've done your job. And technically, that's what teaching is. But it's so much more than that. It is opening eyes and minds. It's getting children to understand that you learn when you're listening, not when you're talking. It isn't about anti-bullying time. It isn't about collaborative classes where children who can't learn are put in classes with children who can, so that the children who can learn will feel good about themselves because they're being kind to the ones who can't, and the ones who can't will somehow magically get a brain implanted simply by osmosis and sitting next to a child who's smarter than they are. Our whole approach to public education, ladies and gentlemen, has gotten so skewed that it's a wonder any of our kids actually come out knowing anything at all, except how to do texting on their cell phone in the middle of class. Our school, for example, has a policy that our children are not allowed to have their cell phones turned on or on their person during school hours. The cell phone is supposed to be turned off and in the student's backpack, handbag, or locker. But 99% of the time, the kids have them in their back pocket, and they run into the bathroom and text their mommy when the teacher tells them that they got a zero because they didn't turn in their homework, and then mommy texts the teacher or calls the teacher and says, "Why are you being so mean to my child?" We don't teach our kids anything about their part in the process. There is an assumption out there in the non-teaching world that somehow or other, if we just make enough regulations and grade our teachers on how many kids pass their course, everybody will magically learn the same amount of stuff during the same time period and get the same grade on whatever test the government says they're supposed to pass. Well, it doesn't work that way. There is no way, no way that you can guarantee equal outcomes in learning any more than you can guarantee equal outcomes in a horse race, no matter how well you handicap. You cannot make everybody the same, ladies and gentlemen. And yet Common Core and the Federal Department of Education and the accreditation methods and state standards of learning and all of the other wonderful regulatory items that have been blanketing our education system for the last 35 years continue to try to make everybody come in the finish line in a dead heat. I do more teaching, ladies and gentlemen, in my ISS, in-school suspension classroom, than the vast majority of teachers across this nation do in a regular classroom situation. And it isn't because they're bad teachers. It is because the conditions under which they have to work are very similar to attempting to teach American Sign Language to a cage full of monkeys with a full feeding trough and plenty of toys and nothing else. Because that's what our classrooms have become. Standards, ladies and gentlemen, are necessary for any endeavor. Obviously, if I am going to say that I am an expert at air conditioning repair, I've got to meet certain standards. I have to be able to fix the doggone things. I can't just walk over and say, oh, what an attractive air conditioner you are. Let me pat you on the head and then I'm sure you'll work fine just because I love you so much. That was the method that was used to deal with my younger grandson when he was biting people and throwing desks. Guess what, folks? It didn't work. Teaching requires learning. The two things go together, just like the famous yin-yang symbol of Oriental metaphysics and philosophy. Teaching doesn't happen unless somebody is learning. And how much learning do you do when you're spending 55 minutes texting your BFF, discussing your friend's hairstyle, or making plans for the weekend, and not paying a bit of attention to the civics lesson being presented to you with all the modern technology of smart boards and videos and music and a teacher trying to focus your attention on him or her? Believe me, this happens, ladies and gentlemen. In addition to riding herd on my juvenile criminals in the in-school suspension room, I also substitute teach at least once a week, if not more frequently. You would not want to be in my shoes, folks, unless you've ever been in a modern-day classroom. You have no idea how difficult a job teaching is in today's public school climate. You spend at least one-fourth of your teaching time attempting to quiet down the students long enough to let them know what to do, what they need, and what's going to be talked about. You spend another quarter of your teaching time making sure that those with special needs are being accommodated properly by the additional people in your classroom, the special education teacher, the paraprofessional student teacher's aide, the principal sitting in the back evaluating you, whatever, okay? The disruptive student who can't help it because he has a behavioral disorder and is entitled to be able to get up and walk out of class in the middle of a lecture because his individualized education plan says that this is the best way for him to calm down enough to come back in and actually listen to what you say. You also spend all of your planning time, if you are fortunate enough to have planning time, in departmental meetings or team meetings or meetings with parents over changing the individualized education plan so that little Susie can scratch herself publicly and nobody will point at her and laugh. And believe me, that sounds totally freaky, but yeah, it happens. Teachers are being asked to somehow or other impart knowledge and skills in a situation where the average employer or manager would turn in a resignation after 10 minutes having to do it. Common Core, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be no more effective than any other regulatory idea of our progressive liberal educating philosophers, because all it's going to do is basically say that if you've got a really good school, you can't have it because you're not teaching the indoctrination methods we tell you to, and we're not going to give you any federal funds to pay the really good teachers who are actually teaching your children fractions. it is going to do exactly what the progressives want it to do. It is going to, as my friend Linda just said in the chat room, make the kids more stupid and indoctrinate them. My personal frustration, ladies and gentlemen, is a very, very small thing in comparison to the damage that is being done to our future citizens. I do not expect my 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students to have as much knowledge as I do. I have 50 plus more years of living, during which hopefully I've learned something. I do not expect them to react, think, or plan, or understand the way that I do, because, like I said, I have 50 plus more years of life experience than they do. But I do expect that when they are in my classroom, they are supposed to be there to learn something. And that requires that they not talk, that they listen, and if they have something to say, they indicate it by raising their hand so that I can then call upon them and they have the floor, without interruption, to express their view, question, or concern. And I can hear that question, view, or concern and address it immediately. And my classroom, ladies and gentlemen, is punishment. The rules of my classroom are the rules in every classroom I was privileged to be a part of throughout my educational experience. I didn't look at school as punishment or a horrible place where I wasn't allowed to play games or talk or eat in the middle of class. I looked at school as a place where there was a huge amount of knowledge and it was going to be given to me. I was going to get to know stuff from people who knew way more than I did about so many things. I loved it. Partly because of who I am as a person, my personality, my character, my interests, but also partly because my teachers and my parents thought of school the same way. It wasn't 7.5 hours of babysitting and being indoctrinated in how government was going to take care of me when I grew up. It wasn't about learning morality and ethics and good manners and good behavior. I was taught that at home. And I was expected to demonstrate that I had been taught that at home when I was in a classroom or on the playground. A common core of civility and good manners would be a wonderful thing. But unfortunately, I don't think we can get that from progressive Fabian socialist folks because I don't think they understand what morals and ethics and good manners actually are. It would be kind of like asking, a basketful of puppies to teach calculus. They haven't grown up enough to be able to teach those kinds of things. And if they have their way, our children will not grow up enough to even learn those kind of things, let alone teach them. Have a caller on the line. I think I know who it is, so we'll see. Hello.
Well, hello, Miss Terry. So glad to hear you talking on this subject because I spoke about this, I think, Tuesday on Bill's show and my show. Which came across on my internet, fabulous stuff, which I'm going to be speaking on in public, I believe, the 22nd. And
super.
On the 21st, we have another woman who's part of our this one task force that I've been involved with forever. Everybody knows everybody. It's kind of neat. We've got the Tri-City Tea Party. Everybody knows, you know, the people at Vista Tea Party. Everybody knows our group, so it's kind of cool. And she's also, she understands this Agenda 21 stuff, and she's doing a talk at this giant Tea Party meeting on the Tuesday prior to the Poway situation where we're supposed to go speak in public and tell them, give them what for on this Common Core. So that's kind
all
of
right.
2 days in a row. And so that's going to be, and I'm hoping, and what's good is the Tri-City Tea Party usually gets between 50 and 100 people a night when they do their gig. So I'm hoping we can get more people on board. This particular one, it's just for openers, and it helps to understand this stuff. It says the Common Core math standards downgrade the years when algebra and geometry are to be taught. Parents
mm-hmm.
will have a hard time helping their children with their math homework. CC standards call for teaching kids to add columns of figures from left to right instead of right to left.
Oh, God.
Isn't this great? Listen to this. Oh, no, Glenn showed it on a chalkboard. It was horrendous.
Oh,
and
I know.
It says, Common Core is encrusted with lies. It is not, as advertised, state-written. It is a national project created in secret without any input from teachers or state legislators.
Exactly.
It is not internationally benchmarked. That never happened.
That's right.
The readings assigned in the CC English standards are 50% informational text instead
mm-hmm.
of great American and English literature and classics.
Mm-hmm.
So those are by the wayside. The result is that Common Core standards are very political. Oh, you're going to love this part, and I'll be done. The suggested readings include a sales talk for government health care, such as Obamacare, and global warming propaganda, including a push for Agenda 21. This is what they're going to do. Some of the fiction suggested is worthless and even pornographic, presumably chosen to reflect contemporary life.
Mm-hmm.
Another suggested reading favorably describes, listen to this one, Fidel Castro and his associates without any indication that they are tyrants, communists, and mass murderers. Isn't that
uh-huh.
special? So this is the kind of garbage that's going to be funneled into these poor kids. And it talks about, they won't score well on the tests if they haven't been indoctrinated in Common Core. So
mm-hmm.
what they're doing is they're dangling this federal money, and then
mm-hmm.
they're forcing them to do this by saying, well, you know, and then they're data mining everything. This is unbelievable.
Yep.
If this isn't Hitler Youth, I'd like to know what you call it.
You are exactly correct, and every single facet of Common Core is nothing but indoctrination into the Marxist ideology.
Oh, yeah,
that's all
sure.
it is. And even the fact that what the kids are going to be measured their reading skills are informational documents that basically tilt as far left as you can get instead of reading something that requires them to actually think. All they're doing is parroting back. Look, I had an idiot teach me freshman English in college. He was of the same type of thinking pattern, and if you parroted back his opinions of the various authors, you got an A. If you gave your opinion, obviously you were wrong. Well, interpreting what you read on the basis of whether or not it's valuable or great literature or this, that, or the other is not the function of the measurement of a test. The measurement is, do you understand what the words
are telling
you?
Right.
That's correct. I have so many kids, Linda, who have gone through the pre-Common Core reading supposed teaching, whose ability to understand what
mm-hmm.
they read does not exist. I have had kids who are not special education now, mind you. These are kids who are not in any way, shape, or form under the umbrella of an individualized education form or students with disabilities or any of that crap, who cannot read three pages in a history book and answer a question unless the question is in exactly the same words as what
mm-hmm.
they read, and they can look for a keyword and copy down the sentence that holds that keyword.
Yeah.
That's what Common Core is going to be testing.
Oh, God. They're teaching to this test it's evil. It's absolutely evil. And what you described earlier on when you said that like walking onto a battlefield, I'm sure, because mm-hmm. you have your rules of engagement and you're supposed to come up with, you know, with
yep.
one quarter of the time spent on discipline practically,
mm-hmm.
and rather than teaching, if you're lucky to get two sentences in to teach.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to the rules of engagement in our current military, where the guys are supposed to
yeah.
try to fight a war and they can't even use real bullets. I mean,
exactly,
it's ridiculous.
Because we have to win hearts and minds. It's the same.
Oh,
you don't win hearts and minds in a war. You win the frickin' war. I mean, you know,
yeah,
I have
you
been,
kick their butts.
You know, the purpose of an army is to kill people and
it's
break
death
things.
And destruction. Yeah.
It's not a tea social.
No.
Personally, I think that every person who runs for office ought to be required to read Robert Heinlein's Starship Troopers. They really should. Have you ever read it?
I don't think I have. I've read Heinlein's stuff, but maybe
read
not that,
that
one.
That one is by far and away among his best work.
Mm-hmm.
Purely and simple, they screwed it up when they made a movie out of it, obviously. You know, it was, you know, giant arachnids and gee,
sure.
aren't we brave. But if you really read that book, in that universe, in that future time, in order to be a citizen, you have to have volunteered for military service.
Mm.
And you have to have served honorably. That is the only way you have voting rights as a citizen. And
wow.
Heinlein's explanation of it is that you have had to prove by your willingness to put your body between your country and the enemy that you
mm-hmm.
have an understanding of the responsibilities of a citizen. A citizen's
right.
responsibilities go along with a citizen's freedoms. If you're not willing to sacrifice to preserve what is of great importance to you, then
mm-hmm.
it isn't important to you. And
right.
it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, basically. The social consciousness, which
right.
progressives and Fabian socialists think is the everybody's equal, everybody lives in the same house, everybody has equal stuff crap. That's not
I
social
know.
Consciousness, and that's not social justice, which is another one of their happy little phrases.
I know.
Common Core, as you and I both know, is designed, as Bill put it earlier in the chat room, to dumb down our kids to make them easier to control.
Uh-huh.
And that is purely and simply the only reason it's being imposed on us, through the back door.
If you have time, get on the Blaze today and look for that one about the Texas style, Gosnell style, a new case.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
When you see the video, it'll be chilling. And what has happened when you see these three women speaking? This is the result of 8 years of this nonsense and doubt, people. It's so chilling. I don't know how we're going to sleep at night after what this
I
woman.
I know.
It's and so Glenn is correct on this one. He has pastors on there today, and he says he looks at pastors and he says, "Man," he says, "if we don't get this one right, we are doomed." I mean, and he
yep.
because when these three women were speaking, Terry, I thought I was listening to a Nuremberg trial on Mengele. I'm not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrific,
mm-hmm.
and these women continued to work for this guy. The only
I don't
they
understand.
Thought maybe. That's I don't either. And the only reason that they had an inkling that maybe something was wrong was when the other guy in Philadelphia gets hauled off to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
I do
Holy,
not.
I don't get
never,
it.
I have never understood indifferent cruelty, Linda. I do not
I
understand it. I can't equate with it. And yet that's what it takes to do what these foul people do.
And even they were admitting that they obviously felt something wasn't right because they had to look away, but they continued to do it. I wouldn't be at work the next day. I mean, that's it. And then I would be turning the guy in. I'd be calling the friggin' FBI or somebody.
We have allowed ourselves.
Oh, my God.
To become distant from one another, and technology plays a role in that. It does. Look at the kids sitting next to each other, texting one another instead of talking.
Oh, it's sick. That is the height of ridiculousness.
Of course, but it happens.
They would hate me because there would be no technology. would be a belt on their butts.
It's like every other technological advancement in the history of mankind. It always has a light side and a dark side. There's always a benefit and there's always a cost. Nothing is without cost. Nothing.
Yes.
But unfortunately,
it's very, very similar. This technology to government, which is force, and it's like fire. Both can
that
be
is
in that
correct.
Category.
That is correct. Yes. Technology is a form of force. It can get people to do what you want them to do if you use it properly. If you give somebody something that makes their life easy, and then they get used to it and comfortable with it, and then all of a sudden you tell them you're going to take it away if they don't do thus and so, what do you think happens?
Yeah, all hell breaks loose.
Exactly.
What?
And that it's the carrot stick approach that you use to train a burro. And that is exactly how progressives view humanity. We are either cogs in the social machine in their thinking, or we are dumb beasts who have to be coerced into correct behavior by treats and rewards. And withholding the treat or reward will get us to behave correctly. It's sound psychology. It's behaviorist theory. I hate the behaviorists. I have hated the behaviorists ever since the first course of psychology I took.
So basically, what you're talking about also is exactly what the federal government's been doing, and now our state governments, especially here in California, which,
they horrify me.
Yeah, so what's happening is now all of this stuff's going to start to unravel, especially with Obamacare, and everybody's dangling carrots in front of other people, and now they're trying to swap money for this and this welfare program and the ACH, the ACA, the Affordable Health Care Act, and all this nonsense. And it's starting to unravel. And wait till 2014 when all these poor sops who still have jobs get their 1040 forms.
Mm-hmm.
And wait till they see what kind of an iron fist the IRS has on them now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're going to love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So
exactly.
That's what's going on. Yeah. It's crazy. I'm going to let you go so you can do the show, but I just wanted to bring up these points because I've been trying to study Common Core and trying to get proof that I can go in public and say, look, this is what it is. It's wrong. It's bad. Let's get rid of
it. Yes.
So,
yes.
So anyway, love, I'm going to go back to the chat room and enjoy the rest of the show. You guys be blessed. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, honey. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate
it. You're welcome. Thanks, hon.
For those of you who didn't know about Common Core, Linda just gave you some very powerful information. And you need to put it into your quiver. Because if you don't stand up and say no to this, your children will no longer be your children. You won't recognize them, ladies and gentlemen. You will not know them. If you have any liking for knowledge as a good, if this system gets rammed down the state's throats in order for them to continue to be able to provide teachers and books and school buildings, you literally will not have your children anymore. You will be turning them over to the state to raise and indoctrinate. If you look at the provisions of Common Core and the types of materials that will be taught and the way the testing will be done and what's going to be measured, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the school does not want you to know what it is they are teaching your kids. The school systems need the money to provide all those lovely bells and whistles that you expect as parents. Computers, computer labs, smart boards in the classroom, field trips, intramural sports, music, art, special aids for students who have learning problems or behavioral disabilities or physical problems. All of those things cost money, ladies and gentlemen. And 99% of you out there are not going to be happy when somebody raises your taxes. I know I'm not when my taxes get raised. But because we have gotten used to all these bells and whistles and all these neat gadgets and all this extra help and extra possible exposure to all these wonderful new technological things, we have lost sight of the fact that none of them will give your child a conscience. None of them will instill in your child the desire to learn and to ask questions and to want to know what is right and do what is right. None of these lovely luxuries that we have grown so accustomed to will give your children the character they need to be functioning citizens in a constitutional republic. Because your children will always cave the minute somebody takes their toys away. We do that with children all the time. Because we're not allowed to spank them anymore, we take away their toys in order to influence their behavior in a positive direction. Our current public education system is doing everything it can to keep your children children for the rest of their lives. Dependent children whose toys will be threatened to take away, to be taken away from them if they do not do what government says is best for them, including kill newly born babies because it's their job. Our kids, ladies and gentlemen, need us more than they need free this, free that, easy something else. They need, as we did when we were children, what's called tough love. Tough love is not constant praise. Tough love is not, oh, you can't help it, you don't have to try. Tough love isn't beating your child half to death because he spilled his milk at the kitchen table either. Tough love is the kind of love that teaches your child that he or she is responsible for his or her choices. And that the only way to learn self-discipline is to learn discipline applied from the outside until you understand why it's needed. 4-year-olds do not understand the social contract, ladies and gentlemen. They cannot. They do not have the mental, emotional, or physical maturity to understand that someone else's reaction to what they do matters. Children are not born with a conscience. Nobody is. You are taught from the moment you emerge from the birth canal, one way or the other, that certain behaviors are unacceptable and other behaviors are praiseworthy. If you were not taught those things, you would remain a screaming infant your entire life. My friend Kara said that kids need discipline. So did Linda. And they do. They have to have structure and a framework because they are not yet developed enough to make one of their own. But the framework shouldn't be an indoctrination into leftist ideology, ladies and gentlemen. The framework should be the understanding that knowledge is power. And that the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. And the framework should include the fact that you can't always have what you want. Sometimes you can't have what you need. because either it isn't available, hasn't been invented yet, or someone else needs it more than you do. Academic skills, the ability to read and write one's native language, the ability to understand mathematics sufficiently to handle money, be aware of how to measure things, understand how to figure out important relationships, mathematical relationships in your own personal life, consumption of this, how much of that you need to make this, etc., the measurements you need to make in order to make sure the carpeting you buy isn't big enough to cover Yankee Stadium instead of just your living room. These things are necessary. The most important, obviously, is teaching children how to read and comprehend what they read. We need to stop falling in love with garbage that has a sweet, chocolatey coating on it. Reading and understanding what you read is what has allowed us to develop the kind of technological marvels we have. Mathematics and its application to our universe and the laws thereof has allowed us to find ways to do things that are magic in comparison to what our lives were like and our understanding of the universe was 200 years ago. Those are the basic skills our kids need to learn. We have got to stop measuring the value of an education with a dollar sign for the salary you'll make when you have one. Because I don't care how long you've sat in a classroom or how many degrees you've managed to get through affirmative action or scholarships or grants or quotas or anything else. If you can't add two and two and reliably come up with four, then you are a non-educated idiot with pieces of paper that mean nothing. And we have so many people out there, ladies and gentlemen, who metaphorically cannot add 2 plus 2 and get 4 more than half the time. Because we've forgotten what the founders knew. They were self-educated men, most of them. Some of them were privileged. Jefferson, Washington, Hancock. They had the family fortune behind them to go to a university, to learn from men who had studied and learned more than they did. But they didn't go to university first. They were taught at home. If their families could afford it, they had tutors. If they couldn't, they had mom and dad teach them. If you teach a child to read and understand what he or she reads, then all you have to do is turn them loose in a library and they'll educate themselves. But you can't make it, oh, just pronounce this word and we'll pretend you can actually understand what it means and get an A. And believe me, I have seen dozens and dozens and dozens of children for whom this is reading. I see children in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade who struggle to read something at a 2nd grade level. And when they do, they can't tell you back what it was about. They can read words, but the words don't mean anything. And yet these children are going to be socially promoted and nursed through the standards of learning testing and the Common Core curriculum. And they're going to be given a high school diploma, just like the kid who fell in love with calculus when he was 12 and turns into Stephen Hawking. There are so many teachers out there, ladies and gentlemen, who love what they do, who believe, as I do, that the most important thing they can give is the knowledge they have accumulated. And the most important act they can perform is to open the eyes and mind of a student. But these wonderful teachers who are passionate about their profession are leaving the teaching profession in droves. Because what they love is being corrupted and turned into something that they don't even recognize anymore. Their joy in their profession, their delight in watching the light go on above the head of a student, is being taken away from them, and as a result, taken away from their students as well. We have a voice, ladies and gentlemen, every single one of us. And it's our obligation, as citizens of this nation, to use that voice to stand up and speak to what we believe is right. And what is being done in our public education system right now is not right. We have got to open our eyes and understand that educating our kids does not mean everybody gets a master's degree. We have got to start having expectations for our children that make sense, not pie in the sky, apple pie, and mom expectations of perfect knowledge of everything so long as government gives me enough money to get it. That's not education, ladies and gentlemen. Education is acquiring knowledge and skill. That's what it means. To be educated means to have acquired knowledge and skill. It doesn't mean to be indoctrinated into a political ideology. It doesn't mean to be convinced that someone is responsible for taking care of you for the rest of your life because you deserve it and are entitled to it because you exist. Education doesn't mean babysitting. Education doesn't mean anti-bullying lectures. Education doesn't mean counseling. Education doesn't mean health checks and vaccination records. And education certainly doesn't mean data mining, student test scores, ethnicity, political affiliations of parents, demographics, financial, social. It doesn't mean that either. It is not a mechanical thing, ladies and gentlemen. But our current government, because it is mechanical, cannot see any aspect of human life as human. It isn't designed currently to see human beings as human beings. It sees human beings as machine parts that can be coded, codified, digitized, lined up, stapled, folded, and shoved in a pigeonhole and taken care of so that each and every human being will produce more than it consumes and we'll all be happy and content. The utopian philosophy, the philosopher kings, the ideal socialism, which Marx, of course, expected to be the stepping stone to chaos, which was the natural state of things. Okay, yeah, it is. But you're not going to impose order on chaos so you can get chaos back, which, you know, Marx was rather odd. But anyhow, we as a nation, ladies and gentlemen, have a culture of pioneering. A pioneer is one who goes to a new place to make the way ready for others to follow. That's what a pioneer does. Whether it's a pioneer crossing the Great Plains in a covered wagon or rolling a handcart into Utah, or a pioneer in theoretical physics like Stephen Hawking, or a pioneer in medicine like Jonas Salk or Christian Barnard, or a pioneer in metaphysical thought like Lao Tzu, for heaven's sake. Pioneers are pioneers, and our culture is a pioneer culture. Pioneer cultures value individualism. They value self-reliance. They value personal integrity so that when you give your word, it's accepted as good as gold. A pioneer culture expects every person to be able to stand on his or her own feet and reach out a hand to someone who has fallen and help them up so they then can stand on his or her own feet. That is the way our founding fathers built this nation. That is the way we used to think of ourselves. Even 50 years ago, we thought of ourselves that way. But for the last 30 years, we have been told that no, pioneers are evil, colonialist despoilers of Mother Earth who subjugate fine, upstanding cultures and make them give up their ideals in order to get rich and fat. That is the current progressive liberal definition of a pioneer. If you've ever looked at the current history books being used in your child's school, you may notice that the Westward Movement and Manifest Destiny are described as really horrible things that actually kind of turned out half okay, but should never have happened because of all the Native Americans whose cultures were destroyed by the evil Europeans overrunning them. And that heroes are people who make life better for everyone by making everyone equal. Well, heroes usually are very uncomfortable people to live with because they go out there and bash something that's going to harm you so you don't have to do it. Very few actual heroes, okay, in our body of Jungian archetypes were at all interested in making everybody equal. Mostly, they were interested in getting rid of a menace to them, their families, or their culture. That's what heroes do. And those heroes were willing to sacrifice their lives to achieve it. I heartily recommend, ladies and gentlemen, to those of you out there who have never read Starship Troopers, get it and read it. Heinlein wrote the novel, I believe, in around 1958 or so. In 1958, I was 12 years old. I was in 5th, 6th grade. I hadn't yet discovered science fiction. I didn't discover science fiction until the early 60s when I was in high school. Once I did, I devoured it wholesale. But I didn't get to Starship Troopers until I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And that was 1980s, just before Robert Heinlein passed away in 1988. I have been rereading a lot of his books over the past week, his juvenile fiction and his adult sci-fi. And every time I do, I hear echoes of what I say on this show, what Patriot Family stands for, what the Tea Party stands for, what Freedom Work stands for, what people like Ted Cruz stand for. The understanding that individuals have made our history and have been the pioneers that have gone ahead and made the way for others to follow. And the best example among Heinlein's works that I can find for that is his novel Starship Troopers. And believe me, do not watch the movie. Please. No. Don't. Read the book. The man was brilliant. He really was. The story is exciting and full of daring do and adventure. The science is amazingly visionary. The social thought sounds as if it could have been read out from the podium or the stage at any Tea Party gathering or any 9/12 group. In a way, it sounds a little like, you know, Glenn Beck could have written it. The premise of Starship Troopers universe and its imagined future is that citizenship in the Federation, which is a worldwide government, is only achieved through military service. Because it takes being willing to sacrifice your own life to preserve your society, your culture, your nation, your beliefs, to be able to use the franchise and the power and force it entails with a consideration for others than yourself. This is what our educational system, ladies and gentlemen, was supposed to be designed to do. To give our kids the skills that would allow them to read a novel like that and understand its underlying premises and not just the adventure. And to understand the science and the mathematics and maybe have that spark them to figure out how to achieve some of the marvels. And guess what? Some of the marvels in that novel are being achieved now. Oh, yeah. It's that kind of individualism, ladies and gentlemen, that kind of excellence and brilliance that we need to nurture, not mediocrity. Not everybody has equal stuff in his house. Not everybody needs a gentleman's sea. Not everybody gets watered down. George Washington was the first president, and he was over 6 feet tall, and that's all you need to know about American history. And they don't even get that. Because half the people on the street probably couldn't tell you who George Washington was. These are the perils, ladies and gentlemen, of allowing Common Core and the like to permeate our educational system. Because what they do with all of these lovely, brilliant, wonderful ways to level the playing field is to make it no longer a playing field, but a prison yard. On a playing field, ladies and gentlemen, level ground is necessary in order that the game be allowed to progress without artificial interference of terrain that isn't suitable for it. For example, the playing field for competition show jumping with horses, okay, is level between the jumps. But the horses don't just walk around the field and then everybody finishes at the same time and everybody gets a blue ribbon. Why in the name of heaven should we expect our children to walk around the field, get there at the same time, and get a blue ribbon simply for being there? We expect to compete, ladies and gentlemen, or we used to. Now we are teaching our children that competition is wrong and evil. Don't excel because you'll make someone who can't excel feel bad. Don't honor those who have high grades in graduating from high school because the ones who don't will feel left out. Don't have a valedictorian because everybody who isn't valedictorian will be unhappy. That one person is honored above all the rest. This is the way to keep a population ignorant and afraid, ladies and gentlemen. And if you can do that, you have a clear path to impose any tyranny you would like to put in place. Because that is how tyrants operate. The human spirit cannot be controlled unless it is ignorant and afraid. And even then, the control is precarious. Because the human spirit will not tamely submit. Sooner or later, that spirit will overcome its fear and hunt for knowledge. And once it does that, your control slips. And when control slips enough, the controller slips right off the top of the heap and down into a grave. Liberal progressives in education know this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let them confuse you. Don't let them fool you that they just love children. And they just want to make them happy and comfortable. And that nobody should not like school because somebody is mean to them. Everybody should love school because everybody should be treated with love all the time. Well, that was the philosophy of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, and he died for it. Because he was willing to sacrifice his mortal life to light a small flame in the hearts of those who followed his teachings. That's a hero, ladies and gentlemen. Not because he promised you you would be equal in the sight of God, no matter what you did, but because he promised you the equal opportunity to live in love. But it was left up to you to make the leap of faith and to actually put into practice what he died to teach. Progressives want you to believe that equal outcomes are possible if we just regulate people enough and nudge them enough and fence them in enough. Everybody will have equal stuff in everybody's house. Except, of course, for the progressive elite, they're entitled to more stuff than everybody else because they're wiser and kinder and more compassionate and more benevolent than the rest of us evil animals could ever be. And for our own good, they have to make sure that they're kept comfortable so they can put their considerable compassion and brain power and wisdom into making sure that none of us has any more than anybody else, because then somebody will feel bad or might get hurt or might be uncomfortable. So we have to keep them very, very comfortable so they can take care of us. As my friend Linda says, after all, they are the philosopher kings. Yeah. It's just like eugenics, folks. Eugenics is a fine idea if I get to pick who doesn't get to live. But it's the same tired, old, failed thinking pattern. It's been tried over and over and over again. If we just get enough power over people to force them to be good to each other, we'll have heaven on earth. Well, unfortunately, folks, you can't force someone to be good. You can force someone to act in a certain way so long as the force or the threat of force is kept constant. But that doesn't make that person good. It merely makes them obedient. And obedience, okay, although it is a virtue, requires you to understand the consequences of your obedience. If you are obedient to a higher law, in the sense of God's law or what you believe to be the right in how you treat other people, you are choosing to be obedient because you know or believe that this pattern of behavior is beneficial to all those with whom you interact, not just yourself. You don't choose to be obedient to God because you want to get to heaven before everybody else. That's not the point. You choose to be obedient to a higher law because that obedience means a benefit to someone besides yourself. And it is this understanding, ladies and gentlemen, whether you place it on God's law or the social contract or the genuine understanding that we all interact with one another and what we do affects everybody. It doesn't matter what you call it. It matters whether or not you live it. It's purely and simply the golden rule, ladies and gentlemen. But for progressives, the golden rule is do unto others so they can't do unto you. And that puts it in a nutshell. And that is why programs like Common Core and objective chronological standards and data mining and testing every 2.5 seconds and standardizing this and regulating that will do everything it possibly can to make your children incapable of doing anything other than what they are told by government. You cannot teach children to be good people if you don't teach by example as well as precept. Unfortunately, we have an administration that teaches our children that denying responsibility and blaming someone else for anything that goes wrong is the proper way to behave. And you can bet that that's going to show up in Common Core. That it's always someone else's fault, never yours. There is no right or wrong, there is only the different. There is no bad behavior, there is only communication we do not understand. All of these things will be part of Common Core, ladies and gentlemen, because they are part of the progressive Fabian socialist agenda. You cannot subvert a nation of pioneers unless you make them into non-pioneers. Pioneers won't sit at home and wait for government to find them a new place to live. They'll put a knapsack on and go hunt one for themselves. And you cannot control them unless you first make them stupid and ignorant and afraid. You have to tell them that there is nothing out there to look for. And if they still persist in going to look for it, you have to punish them in some way so that they will scuttle back and let you take care of them again. And no matter how hard you try, some of them are going to say, no, thank you, and they're going to go there anyway. And then others are going to see, and they're going to follow. That is why individualism is anathema to progressive liberals. Individuals are dangerous. We can't have individuals teaching our kids. We can't have individuals learning things in our classroom. We can't have a teacher who is better at getting across fractions than the teacher next door because he or she uses an innovative method that really catches the kids' attention. No, we can't have that. What we've got to do is make everybody do it the way that teacher does. Except that everybody can't do it exactly the way that teacher does. Because not every other teacher sees fractions in that way. And even in the class where a lot of the kids are getting it, there are going to be five or six of them who don't. Because they can't see fractions at all, no matter who teaches it. You cannot teach children according to a set of standards that are unachievable, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot expect every child at the age of 12 to have mastered X, Y, Z particular skills. Because at the age of 12, I mastered lots of skills that most people don't master until they're 20. And there were others that I didn't master at age 12 that some people master when they're at age 6. My friend Kara says it's the individual versus the collective. And that is exactly the battle that we're fighting. Common Core is the collective. It is the assumption that the group is of more value than the individual. And the individual must be sacrificed to maintain the coherence and integrity of the group. It is the anti-pioneer society, ladies and gentlemen. The anti-pioneer philosophy. The anti-American cultural imperative. It always amazes me when I hear the progressives in our White House and the staff and appointments that come from it falling all over themselves to praise Islam, when Islam is one of the most collective political religious systems ever devised by man. You cannot be an individual under Islam. Because individuals question. And under Islam, you cannot question. Because the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad are the last and final word of God. There will be no more messages from the Almighty. How on earth anybody of this country could be stupid enough to think that a pioneer society like ours could be comfortable with sharing a planet with a bunch of people who believe that nobody should be allowed to be a pioneer because there won't be any more, God said so. But so many people out there don't read. Or if they do, it's just to determine whether this says men or women so they don't go into the wrong bathroom. God forbid they should have to think. If we allow Common Core and the rest of the Department of Education and the current administration's happy little solutions to the fact that people are different and always will be to take over our educational system, ladies and gentlemen, we have cut our own throats and the throats of our kids and our grandkids and their grandkids all down the line. And someone else, somewhere else in this lovely world full of human beings, is going to create a new pioneer society and hopefully do better than we have done. I hope that doesn't happen. And I believe that there are enough of us American pioneers out there to stop it from happening. And it always tickles me that conservatives and libertarians are thought of as being, you know, old-fashioned and favoring the old over the new, when what we are is pioneers. We think like pioneers. We think like individuals. And my friend Kyra says, now we have unisex bathrooms. Yeah, I'm aware. Because who knows whether somebody isn't transgender and just hasn't figured it out yet. And how can we possibly hurt their feelings by not letting them go into whatever gender bathroom they feel like they are at any given moment? We can stop it, ladies and gentlemen. If we raise our voices and we refuse to sit down, shut up, and be intimidated by taking away our toys, we'll figure out ways to make new and better toys. Trust me, human beings have been doing that for millions of years. Well, maybe not millions, but thousands of years. We've been figuring out new and better toys, and we can't be stopped because we, too, are creators. If we are truly made in the image of our Creator, then we are creators, too. And that part of us, which is of our Creator, cannot be stopped by the idiocies of things like Common Core and IEPs and data mining and all of the rest of the lovely little attempts to keep us imprisoned that are coming out of Washington these days. It is that faith that we too are creators that keeps me going, ladies and gentlemen. It is that belief in the human spirit. That understanding that there is something that is greater than I, of which I am a part, and it sure as heck isn't government. And it's that belief that there's no guarantee that everybody in the world is immediately going to drop whatever they're doing, reach out and hug his neighbor, and we're all going to be happy together. Because we are as we are. A little higher than the beasts and a little lower than the angels. We are human, ladies and gentlemen, which means less than perfect. But we are human, which also means we strive to be better. And that will not change. We'll ride through the rough times and we'll reestablish our pioneer thinking. There are millions of us out there, ladies and gentlemen. Millions of us. And we can't be stopped any more than the first pebble that starts an avalanche can be stopped ahead of time. It can't, because that pebble will always follow the law of gravity. It will tilt, it will fall when it's pushed too far, and other pebbles will fall with it. And right now, those pebbles are being pushed way beyond endurance. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And please come back and visit us next Thursday at 6 p.m. for Patriot Education. Visit us on our website, www.patriotfamilies.com. Meanwhile, God bless. Keep speaking the truth. And as always, my eternal love to my greatest fan.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat on Wednesday at 7 p.m. You can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed but Never Forgotten. All times are Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.